All right, let's open our Bibles to Romans 16, and I thank God again for, and I meant it so sincerely, as the Lord encourages us in these things. Brothers and sisters, we're in the depths of the love letters. We really are, and I thank God how He's continuing to open these things up to us. He knows that we need more encouragement. That's what He knows, and He knows the timing of everything. And I praise God that as we trust Him and as we go on in our walk with Him, just always showing up in complete humility. Lord, we are emptied out before You for You to fill up every time. And praise God how He expands the wineskin to continue to add and increase His life in us, and the joy and the peace and the rest and the thanksgiving and the love and all of those precious things of the Spirit we know that God does. And I did want to make mention, and I so appreciated a sister pointing this out, and thanks be to God. And again, brothers and sisters, as you pass through these things, and as the Holy Spirit brings us into these things, there'll just be more and more every time, because that's the way it is. I mean, we are, again, holding and handling and looking into the only thing that's ever going to be forever. So as you treasure this, what's in here? And with a glorified body like unto His own someday. Oh my, oh my, oh my. And it's the ages to come, and it's the exceeding riches of His grace. And thank God for that. But a sister had mentioned to me again last week as we concentrated and focused on Romans 16:16, and I appreciated her encouraging my heart in that. You know, the number 16 is the number for love. And isn't that just so sweet? You get a double portion there. And that's what God is doing right now. If you want it, if you think you already know too much and kind of have checked out, and I know that by God's grace, I'm hopeful ones that would come to a Bible study. By the grace of God, that's not us. But the Lord encourages us all the time never to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Praise His name. All right. But we've come to this, and I thought that maybe, Lord, we would close it up this week, but I'm going to tell you right now, I think that we'll be here another week. And I don't mean to prolong it, but it's just, it's so deep. And I thank God that we're not trying to exhaust it. You couldn't. But that, you know, we're taking a little bit of time here, especially in this conclusion, this salutation that we've entered into in this 16th chapter. And I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, until we got here, praise the Lord, I didn't know what He had for us. I didn't know what was here. And I thank God. You know, we study and we read and things of that nature. But as I was expressing to a sister, until you get there, He's got the manna for the day. So I'm learning. I'm a man that I plan. I'm very prepared. Naturally speaking, I like to be way ahead of things. And I've always been like that. God has had me to wait on Him as studying the Word of God. I know it's Him, and it's going to be a walk of faith, and I know that it's not going to be of my strength nor of my might. It's going to be of Him and His precious encouraging of love through the Spirit in our lives. So we thank Him. But I believe as we get into this and we finish this up, the Holy Ghost has opened up so much to our hearts. And again, this greater capacity for love, encouraging us very mightily, especially in this 16th chapter, that brothers and sisters, yes, it was written in a sense by Paul to these particular saints, but it wasn't about the saints in a sense of who they were by name. It's who they were by heart. And I thank God that this is written to us. This is alive and living in this same encouragement, this same precious word all the way through the Bible, but especially in this salutation, because I know for a fact that in looking at this myself and being in studies with this before, this is just bypassed. There's just very little written on it, things of that nature. It's just overlooked. It's, well, there's a bunch of list of names, and we go from there. It's kind of almost like the approach to Leviticus, or Numbers, I should say, or something of that nature, where, you know, it's almost like, well, let's just drive through it and read, and we've read through it, so we count it and check it off that we went through the Word of God. But I thank the Lord that He's had us kind of hit the brakes here, and we got out of the car, and we're walking around, and as Brother Hill used to say, knee-deep clover, praise God. But this is encouraging us, and this is encouraging ones that will let God. When you let God, you'll grow. When you harden up, stiffen up, you're not going to grow. You'll shrivel. And when you let God, the Word is alive in your life. When you let God, the Word works effectually in us and powerfully in us. And praise God, I believe in the same manner, in a sense, as what was going on in these lives, because obviously the Holy Ghost was just as much for them to win God's best as he is for us today to win God's best. The church age is the church age, and to finish with that full joy, and we're not comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. We're saying, no, this is the mark for the prize, just like Paul said, exalted crown of righteousness, the exalted rank of righteousness in that crown of righteousness there in 2 Timothy that he says that he had won, he says, it's not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And we thank God in that because it is the state of the heart. These are, again, saints that are fully purposed for Paul's gospel. They're running the race course to win him. They're not just running for show to flail arms or to compare how much brain knowledge they have in these things. This is to win Christ Jesus as bridegroom. Praise his name. So let's go ahead and read from verse 21 tonight of the 16th chapter. And it says, Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, we'll sit in these verses tonight. And what we're finishing up here to begin with are the three salutes. Salute, salute. And as I pray we always remember, this salutation is not just a command saluting, like I say, with a military salute or something of that nature. This actually means to draw one nigh to oneself, to draw one in, to embrace them, that oneness that the Word of God speaks of. And this is the love, praise God, of Jesus Christ that works through us to others. But these salutes that we start to read about here have kind of even entered another dimension, if you will, than the salutes that we've been reading about earlier on in the 16th chapter. No longer is it Paul telling them to salute one another or to salute certain saints. It's now Paul and it's Timothy and the likes of those ones in that fully purposed heart that are saluting, praise God, these saints. That this word, this Paul's gospel, is drawing them nigh to that precious word, as it is doing to us at this time. And that's what's so exciting, is that we're like-minded, brothers and sisters. As we mentioned last week, yoke fellows. I thank God, as a sister encouraged me some years back, cherubim friends whose wings touch over the mercy seat. And this is the height of fellowship and greeting amongst the bridal ones. Now, in verse 21, he begins with workfellow and kinsman. Now, I love this because the two together mean something very special. Workfellow means companion, and kinsman means in the family. So, in this verse, you have truly the companion in the family. Well, as the Lord encouraged my heart in this, I have a family, but I really only have one companion, in a sense, in the family. And I believe, again, this is right off to the bridal encouragement to us. And that's truly what's been going on in the 16th chapter. That's culminating very clearly as we'll go through this tonight. And so you have this companion of love, this bridal encouragement from workfellows and kinsmen, this double portion of love that continues to pour out through Paul to these saints because they love Paul's gospel. Let that always encourage us too, brothers and sisters, and I love that. And I hear that very often, and it isn't, again, to boast except in the Lord. It is a true thankfulness to God This meeting has an anointing that is very present here of saints that love. And I thank God for that. There is a notable difference often for people that come that, again, have been here for a time or have visited, and they take away something, praise God, that truly is an encouragement to their lives of the divine and agape love. So we thank him for these things. And we know that that is all the work of the grace of God in our lives. But as we go on here, we've read there's five all glorious names in the first couple verses that we read here. So again, five of these first five speaks of the grace of God. And I'd like you to get the information on what their names mean. Well, first of all, we had Timotheus here. And Timotheus' name means honoring God. Lucius means bright white light. Then you have Jason. That means healer, one who will heal. Sosipater, means saving father. And then finally, you have that fifth one, Tertius. It means the third. Very interesting, the name and its meaning, but it means third. Now, Tertius here, many say was a scribe for Paul, one that just was with Paul. Maybe it was because of Paul's eyesight, I don't know, but that wrote these things down. I read this and I'm encouraged in my heart. I don't know if I agree with that, but that really doesn't matter. And I just thought I would put that there because it's interesting. And maybe this precious brother was so encouraged to include his salute to these ones in the Lord as well too. I don't know. But again, I will keep that in my heart with the Lord of what some of the things he's put there. But it's truly the meaning of these names and not necessarily who these people were that really is all glorious here. And we need to understand these things. There's yea, the deep things of God. And if you consider all the names that I just mentioned, and I want you to think about this again. Timotheus means honoring God. Well, thank the Lord, we know about honoring God, but who really magnifies honoring God? It was Jesus. Amen. I mean, he just couldn't do anything but to the will of the Father. So we know, again, there's our Jesus, the bright white light. We know that that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Healer, the third one. We know that that is Jesus. And then we finally have saving Father, which is God. So in the Word of God and in the ministering of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, there's one thing that you'll find that will be a pattern over and over and over. You will always have the Trinity. It's so beautiful how they work in perfect conjunction with one another. You'll always have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And because we know that they all work in conjunction, whether it was from Genesis 24, where we would read about the bride for Isaac, we knew that, again, the Father, the Master, had sent out the servant, which is the Holy Ghost, to find the bride for the Master's Son, which is Christ Jesus the Son. So, we know that that will always come that way when we're speaking of these high calling things. And that's what's so beautiful here. We have the references of Christ and his magnificence of, again, his submissiveness to the Lord, his bright white light, his wonderful name that he is healer. But then we also have Sosipater, which means the Father or saving Father. And then finally, praise God, now we can find a little bit more of the meaning of Tertius, which means the third. The third of the Godhead. So here we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I think how sweet that the Lord encourages us in these things, that we have the Trinity. We have it in the five salutes of grace. And this represents, again, how truly the Godhead, brothers and sisters, is ravished, drawing us nigh. And this rejoicing of those that truly love the depths of the gospel of Christ. See, when we come into this place, and as we live our lives, but especially as we gather, because he says to gather or assemble ourselves the much the more, as we see that day approaching, it's so precious to God, see. We're doing this not out of duty. This is out of love. We come here because we love the Lord. We come here because, you know what? I love the appearing of the Lord in the saints. This is what's going on right now. This is truly loving his appearing as we get together. And I'm as excited about my life to win God's best as yours and yours and yours and everybody's. And that's how it is. And I know it's reciprocated, brothers and sisters, because it's the very heart of Christ. This is where this love never changes. This magnificent love is the same love that Paul and Timothy and these have towards these Romans and these saints that had towards back Paul. They love that precious gospel. They love that, again, that Christ Jesus loved so much that he would, again, give all of this to us. But what he's encouraging here is to continue to grow and remain in Paul's gospel. To continue to fight, brothers and sisters. And there is a fight of faith. And the fight of faith truly is to feast only upon strong meat. See, again, the little foxes spoil the vine. It's the little things that'll come in. I thank the Lord how, again, Christ in us stands in defense of that precious gospel as we yield to him. He's the faithful one. He's the true one. But I thank God that as we yield to that life and as we know and have confidence in the Lord, even if we be otherwise minded, he'll make that known unto us. It's not that you just go with something because this is the way we did it. No, you go with the Word of God. And I thank the Lord that, again, we've marked those that have been examples in our lives that have gone before us, that have lived these things and have, again, lived that full overcoming life. And there was a pattern, a precious pattern of yielding and in the Holy Ghost and praise be to God, continuing in the grace of God, just like we read about on and rejoiced in on Sunday. These are the things that we follow after. And I pray, brothers and sisters, more and more that this becomes more real and alive in us. And every moment as we stand and withstand and having an altar stand in Paul's gospel, and how wonderful and glorious is the time that we live in. It's wonderful. It's incredible that the Lord has us right now tending upon the things of him without being distracted. Think of how distracted this world is. You turn on the TV, it's just one big distraction. You look in the newspaper, everybody's distracted. And it's interesting because that's the ploy of man. Distract them, isn't it? It's something. That's, again, as was brought out over the years here, entertain. And that word and what it does, it hypnotizes. It gets your minds off of things, whatever it may be. It's truly a drug. And I thank God that truly by his grace, we can have our mind stayed upon him. We can have that precious fellowship and be so thankful in him. Now, let's go on to more of a double portion tonight of this saluting. In verse 23, he says, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. Now, let's take Gaius for a second. There are three precious, precious meanings of this name. It means reverence for God, it means devout, and it means full of prayer. Now, no wonder this precious brother was the host of Paul. This was Paul's heart. This is where Paul dwelt, was in the place for reverence of God, devout, and full of prayer. And the whole church, the church, again, without spot or wrinkle, that one, praise the Lord. You can see that that's why it's all referenced together here. But I want you to think about these names one more time, or these meanings of this name Gaius. First of all, again, it means reverence. Think about what reverence means to us as we have studied the Word of God and as we have gone on with the Lord. The word reverence is first and foremost many times thought of as the reverence for the bride for the husband. Just let that go. That's a little bit on the heating there. But first of all, the reverence, again, is the heart of the wife for the husband. And then secondly, this devout. Yes, she is a chaste virgin to the Lord. And then finally, full of prayer. Absolutely, the true worshiper. This is the one that worships him in spirit and in truth. So you see again this drawing nigh of these people, this drawing nigh of us with Paul's gospel. This is what he's drawing us nigh to. This is what's building in our life, is this reverence, this praise God, this encouragement to be devout, not of us, but to the grace of God. And finally, to be full of prayer. And praise his name for this precious encouragement that we have here, because that is the true worshiper. It is, again, another type of that for living one company, because they're seen in Revelation continuing to worship God. They're always drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss him. I believe it's so incredible that, again, this is the salutation to the lovers of Paul's gospel. This is to us, brothers and sisters, and this is why, praise God, this isn't just a list of names. This isn't just a list out here of, well, these are some people I want you to think about. This is the meaning, praise God. And again, we are just looking upon the surface of this. What's in here? My goodness, what it's going to be to understand it all through the ages to come, praise his name. But I'm telling you what, it's even going to get more beyond, because we go to Erastus next. And you read there, it says, Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. Now, most notes you'll ever see on this was the manager of the finance of the city. And I mean, you're looking at that, and I'm thinking, okay, so Lord, you want me to know that this guy was the treasurer? You want me to know that this guy, you know, worked for the government? And honestly, that's kind of what you'll see all the time in this type of a reference. And I thank God that, you know what? I don't want to skim over the surface. And it's not because of me. And it's not that we try to go deep, because you can't. I thank God that, again, it's yea, the deep things of God by the Spirit. And the treasure and the hidden things here are just awesome. I mentioned this many times to you. You know, I love those treasure hunting movies and things like that. I always remember that one where that fellow was taking the Declaration of Independence and something was written on the back, and they're going through it and finding this and finding that. And I'm telling you, beyond that is in here. The mystery of Christ in the church. Now, yes, it's been made fully known to us, but again, the pattern, the weaving, again, those intimate love letters. I am a little off. Sometimes I find that, you know, I always think everybody else is different. I guess I'm the one that's kind of different all the time. My wife tries to point that out to me often. But I don't know if you ever had a love letter, you know, that you really love somebody and you got a letter from them. You know, again, you've heard me say this. Did you just read it through one time and throw it in the round file and say, well, that's great, man, I'm loved, that's cool? You know, you didn't say that. You know, you took that letter, you smelt that letter, you put it all over yourself or whatever it was. But then you look at that letter again and again, you read that letter. And then you start looking at the words and how it moves your heart and the meaning in that letter. And again, that's just a drop in the ocean to what's in here, and what the Spirit ministers to our heart in these things. And it's not getting lost in definitions and meanings. I hope you understand that. This is just a precious time that the Lord's opened up to us that we can look in here. But this is for eternity, and praise be to God. I do want to let the Holy Ghost minister to my heart. But this Erastus, his name means beloved, all right? So beloved here is his name, meaning much love. If you think about that kind of much love, I think of that love of God shed abroad in my heart, that dearly beloved love. That's his name. And he was the chamberlain. Well, the chamberlain is the keeper of, or the steward, or the manager of a household. And I think of one of the sweetest chamberlains we know of in the Word of God was Haggai, that was the chamberlain or the keeper of women for Esther. And the one that took in little Esther and was able to encourage her if you know the story about Esther, this was a young woman that knew nothing. She was an orphan. I'm sure she was in with many ladies that wanted to win the king's heart that were from great pedigree, that were from blue blood families, all these different ones. And they knew that this daughter was all groomed to win this king's heart. Well, but Esther, you know, she just showed up and she happened to be a pretty girl. And she happened to be fair. But like I said, I'm sure that they laughed at her. Oh, you? You're from out of town. You're from nowhere. I mean, you just came in here because your family even gave you up. You could imagine the biting and all of that kind of stuff in this poor little young lady. But I'll tell you what, the keeper of the women took favor to her. Can you imagine that? And groomed her and encouraged her. And instead of her having an ego of who maybe her family was, God took care of that, didn't he? And all she did was say, I don't know a thing. But I know you know everything. I know you know the king's heart. I know you know the king's liking. I know, Holy Ghost, that you have all the things of Christ. And you want to show them to me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Isn't it so beautifully clear? So here is this chamberlain, the one that took Esther, showed her all of these things. And Esther said she took nothing but what was given to her of the chamberlain when she met the king. And praise be to God, not only did she win, she won it all. He was so ravished, he was so amazed at her beauty. She stunned him so much, he almost couldn't even speak. Honey, it's all yours. Praise God. Praise God. Now go into Song of Solomon and see how she ravishes him with just one glance of her eye. You see what the grace of God can do? Isn't that awesome? Isn't it wonderful? See, when she tried to fix herself up in the Song of Solomon, what did he do? He left. Don't try to fix yourself up. You can't. Let him do it. Let the Holy Ghost do it all. Amen? See how beautiful you become when you get yourself out of it and you just let the Lord do it. And all these years, we struggled with, oh, I got to do this, and oh, I'm such a failure, and oh, I'm this. Just get over all that. Get over self. Understand that God made you so wonderfully and fearfully made to truly be so ripe for the Holy Ghost to come in and to take a nothing and make you everything for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't it precious how he does it? With each and every one of us. So again, Erastus, much love, this love shedder. The chamberlain. So we again have this one that's the manager, the keeper of the women. Now, why is this important? Because he's the keeper, what does it say here, so sweetly, chamberlain of the city. If you look that word city up, it means heavenly Jerusalem. It's just, like, you couldn't make this stuff up. It's just too perfect. So here you have, if you really want to put this together, he's the one that sheds the love of God. He's the manager of the keeper of the New Jerusalem, the bride adorned. And that's exactly, praise God, what Paul's gospel is, what Paul's gospel does through the, again, Holy Ghost. Because you'll never see Paul's gospel without the Holy Ghost. You won't. It's impossible to see the deep things of God without not just the filling, but the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And again, in that fullness, we know of the Holy Ghost, your life will be all grace. Do you know that? Because the Holy Ghost will not give you anything but grace. So if you're really full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be full of the grace of God. And you know, if you're full of the grace of God, let me tell you something. You're going to grow exponentially. You're just going to grow from glory to glory into the very image of him. Fullness, praise the Lord. Absolute assurance, praise God, that, you know, this is his will. This isn't my will. This is his will that is going to be done in my life because of the plan, the provision, the purpose, and the very power of God. Praise the Lord. That's not just resting upon me, but that's in me. Hallelujah. And this is this precious word that we have. But I'm so thankful to God that we see this, that again, we're not keeping anything. He's the keeper. Isn't that precious? Isn't it wonderful that we just sit by the well? He puts us on the camel, and all we say is, I'll go. Hallelujah. Let's go. Praise the Lord. And continuing to hear the ministering of the Holy Ghost. And that's what it's all about. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, see, in fighting the good fight of faith, God help us not to get caught up in and entangled in the affairs of this life. It will waste our time. It will distract us. It will cause us to, again, be weighted down. We need to cast aside every weight. Every weight, if you really want to soar in this thing. And I thank God again how he's bringing these things to us and making them so real to us. But this is so perfect in what God has for us in this, you know, precious text, that we see that there is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus coming forth over and over in this precious salutation. Now, we finally get to Quartus at the very end of the 23rd verse. Quartus, a brother. It almost sounds like, well, he was tagging along. Let's just throw his name in here. We're not going to make him feel bad, and he can say something too. I mean, really, if you know, if you're reading through this thing quick, you say, Quartus, Tertius, what in the world? Are these just like stray cats that they, you know, had in here? And, you know, a lot of times that's the kind that go after God's best, so you never know. But I'll tell you what, this is so very precious because Quartus is an unknown brother. I mean, even you go into historical fact, you can't find Quartus. You can't find anything about this fella, except the only thing we know here is Quartus means fourth. It's the number four. And, you know, Gaius and Erastus. Erastus was a church apostle. Gaius was mentioned in the Word of God a few other times. So, you know, here you got this mysterious fourth guy. And you think, well, why four? Well, four, again, in the Word of God, it represents complete weakness. Complete weakness. Now, over and over, what's going to magnify the grace of God? Our complete weakness. Amen? Can we bring anything of ourselves and anything in our strength to go after God? No. We know that it must be Him. We know that it must be Christ in us or Christ in you. The hope of glory. We know that, praise the Lord, this is a vessel only of grace. We know, praise the Lord, that when we truly are weak, then we're strong. We truly know that the Word of God encourages us, that it's in our infirmities that is really the glorying, because it's at that moment and at that time that the very power of Christ rests upon us. Amen. Praise God. And we thank the Lord. I'll tell you, when you're in complete weakness and the grace of God encourages you to praise the Lord, you're in a good way. Great way. Now, when we're in complete weakness and we're starting to murmur and curse and all that, we got a problem. Yes, we do. But I thank God again in His faithfulness that He turns that, and He turns that sorrow and into a joy. We may not be out of the furnace, but praise the Lord, we know He's there. We know that that is where the mining is going forth. Now, again, we think of the number four. Well, praise the Lord. The four living ones, which represents the bridal company there in Revelation. Again, always think of that. The reason it's that four is because it's human weakness. It's complete weakness. It has to be His strength. It has to be His power that does these things. I got to thinking back. Do you remember when we had the study on the ark? And the Ark of the Covenant is what I'm talking about. And on the Ark of the Covenant, the way that it was carried is there were four rings that were on each corner of the ark. So you had those four, and they were made one with the ark. They were, praise the Lord, they were just little hollow things that had to be filled with what? Basically a spear, like a pole. It had to be pierced through. Again, knowing that we need that piercing in our lives. We need that suffering. But as we're suffering for Christ's sake, as we're those four rings on that precious ark, there's no way the ark is ever going to be lifted up. There's no way the ark is ever going to be exalted in its heights without those rings being pierced, without the poles going through them. And isn't that in our lives too? Praise the Lord, that it's when we are truly suffering for Christ's sake, there's nothing greater, more glorious to Him. There's nothing more that could ever be magnified in our lives of lifting up the Lord, praise God, than when we are suffering together with him. And these rings, again, there are four of them, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I mean, we can go on and on in these things, but praise God, it's all here. It's all over and over again. So I do rejoice with you, and again, I say rejoice. But you know, you might sit here from time to time, and I was thinking of this as the Lord brought this part of the study again. God help us to ever think we know something. You know that? You know, coming on in here and, wow, do I have something to give, or I really found something out, having any type of a chip. God help us. As he's taken my life through this study, I thank God that, you know, you show up. You let him bring it to you. And I thank God that he's brought more depths than I've ever been through in this precious a portion of Scripture. But I'm confident if the Lord tarries, he brings me back through here, there'll be more. Haven't seen anything yet. And as I mentioned earlier, you think about the time that we have a glorious body like unto his own, a mind like his. Amen? Everything like him. My goodness, what will it be? Well, I don't know, but yea, it will be the depth of the depths of the exceeding riches of his grace to us in his kindness. So I'm looking forward to that with you, brothers and sisters. And my goodness, what love will be given to them because, wow, what he has prepared for them that love him. But let's go ahead and close it tonight with this 24th verse. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, if you think about this passage tonight as we close it, there were eight lives that are mentioned here. Eight. Wonderful. Eight again speaks of the bride. And thanking the Lord that you just can't get away from it. This is what he wants. It's like, man, he hits you with a love letter here, and he hits you with another love letter there, and all of the types and the shadows and the meanings and all of these things. And again, there were three salutes here from these eight, as it said. Again, it's all because of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Has to be. It's that working. It's that perfect working of the Trinity. It's that perfect plan of God. And as the Father, again, he's the one that's seeking and searching for that true worshiper who's going to worship him, his Son, in that love, in that drawing nigh unto him in fervent love. But again, it's not the Father that is sent to search out for her. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the one that has it all. All of the Father he's got with him. Just like we read in Genesis 24. It's all there. So what will it be for us? Amen? I, again, have been so encouraged lately with some lives that have come to visit with me about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And truly, in love, not to be hardened about it, because there's nothing to be hard. It's a joyful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And I know sometimes, and I remember in my life, tarrying to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It didn't happen right away. And I was thinking about those that were waiting for the Holy Ghost to come at Pentecost. It didn't happen right away. They were waiting. They were tarrying. They had been in there. It was hot, sweaty, all those different things. But they were waiting for what the Lord said would come. They didn't know exactly when it was going to come, but they knew it was going to come. So they didn't just give up and go leave and walk out of there. As it said, there were about 120 that were gathered there, and they didn't leave. They all were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all spoke in other tongues. I love that. That's so exciting. And see, the Word of God in its detail, it doesn't miss a beat. It didn't say they were all filled and some spoke. They were all filled and they all spoke. Because they couldn't all be filled if they all didn't speak. The little subtle things that just keep making a line upon a line and a line upon a line. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you, don't be discouraged if things don't come right away. Amen. Isn't that really our whole lives as a Christian? Isn't patience to have her perfect work? Amen. If you got it right away, there wouldn't be any true faith. One of the greatest things about faith is the time involved. Amen. Yeah. True love, as we've talked about many times, true love waits, doesn't it? And true love waits with anticipation, but true love still has a patience. And true love abides faithful. Amen? Because it's in love. It can't help. It doesn't love anything else. No other love satisfies true love. Praise God. So, again, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Praise His name. We know that, again, it's that precious Trinity and the power that holds it all together, that makes it alive. And praise be to God. We know it's the grace of God that keeps it all growing. Amen. It's grace. It's the all-powerful grace of God. It's all by grace. It's everything by His grace. And that's why. Continue. Remain as who you are. Grace ones. That's all we are. We're just the work of the grace of God. Why not let Him do all of it? Amen. We know that each one of us here, when we are saved by grace, how your life changed. From death to life. Some maybe even later in life were saved. And they knew even more in a way magnificently. They knew the death that maybe you were living. And how that life came to live in you. And yes, the new man. But how much more so is grace magnified as we go along? Praise God. And in the power of the Holy Ghost. Seeing even that man of God, we know that it's birth, but seeing that man, the new man, grow up in us and take over, causing you and me to be the people that we never, not just thought we could be, we never even imagined we would be. Amen. Because He had to give you that vision. Just like Abraham walking out and he didn't know where he was going, when you became new, when Christ came to live in you, you didn't know that life. And you had to go out and walk and grow in it. And walking all the way through the Word of God. Understanding that life. Praise the Lord. And it's new all the time. Sometimes it's very uncomfortable. Just think if you're Abraham, you're walking out in different places. You didn't know where you were going. Oh, there could be enemies in there. Well, I don't feel real comfortable over in this side of the country. How about your own life? Well, Lord, I don't want you to exercise me with another nasty neighbor. I don't need another bad boss. I do not need my spouse being cranky today. Are we getting it? You're willing to walk in that land whether or not you know where you're going? Let's go. Go on. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise His name.